Ana vairagya yuktena bhakti yogena yogina kshemaya padamula me pravishantya kutobayam. Jnana, with knowledge, vairagya, and renunciation, yuktena, equipped, bhakti yogena, by devotional service, yogina, the yogis, kshemaya, for eternal benefit, padamulam, feet, me, my, pravishante, take shelter of, akutabayam, without fear. Translation. The yogis, equipped with transcendental knowledge and renunciation, and engaged in devotional service for their eternal benefit, take shelter of my lotus feet. And since I am the Lord, they are thus eligible to enter into the kingdom of Godhead without fear. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One who actually wants to be liberated from the entanglement of this material world and go back home, back to Godhead, is actually a mystic yogi. The words explicitly used here are yuktena bhakti yogena. Those yogis or mystics who engage in devotional service are the first-class yogis. The first-class yogis, as described in Bhagavad Gita, are those who are constantly thinking of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. These yogis are not without knowledge and renunciation. To become a bhakti yogi means to automatically attain knowledge and renunciation. That is the consequent result of bhakti yoga. In the Bhagavatam, 1st canto, 2nd chapter, it is also confirmed that one who engages in the devotional service of Vasudeva Krishna has complete transcendental knowledge and renunciation. And there is no explanation for these attainments. Ahaitiki, without reason, they come. Even if a person is completely illiterate, the transcendental knowledge of the scriptures is revealed unto him simply because of his engagement in devotional service. That is also stated in the Vedic literature. To anyone who has full faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the spiritual master, all the import of the Vedic literatures is revealed. He does not have to seek separately. The yogis who engage in devotional service are full in knowledge and renunciation. If there is a lack of knowledge and renunciation, it is to be understood that one is not in full devotional service. The conclusion is that one cannot be sure of entrance into the spiritual realm in either the impersonal Brahma-jyoti effulgence of the Lord or the Vaikuntha planets within that Brahman effulgence unless he is surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. The surrendered souls are called Akuto Vaya. They are doubtless and fearless, and their entrance into the spiritual kingdom is guaranteed. Jnana vairagya yuktena bhakti yogena yogina kshemaya padamulam me pravishant yakuto bayam. The yogis, equipped with transcendental knowledge and renunciation, and engaged in devotional service for their eternal benefit, take shelter of my lotus feet, and since I am the Lord, they are thus eligible to enter into the kingdom of Godhead without fear. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachadeshatarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchkalpa Charubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Yes, so Lord Kapila is continuing with very clear, concise, and very vivid discussion of and glorification of the process of devotional service as the process, the main process, by far the most wonderful process, which has the potency to make any other process, well, not any other, but other relevant processes effective. But without any other process is itself all that's required. It's completely effective. So it's very, very wonderful description. And here, of course, the Lord is focusing on certain aspects. A few different aspects. One is about jnana and vairagya, knowledge and renunciation. And Srila Prabhupada refers to a verse. It's actually the first canto, chapter 2. He mentions first canto, chapter 2. But it's verse 7. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayat Yashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayada Hoitukam. By rendering devotional service unto the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. This is Krishna consciousness. It's just very amazing, very unique process that even, as Prabhupada mentions here, even someone may be illiterate. Even someone may be illiterate, but the process of devotional service is so effective that even someone who is illiterate can, well, we could say will, become very nicely situated in knowledge and renunciation, but particularly here, knowledge, simply by the potency of the process of devotional service. Yes. And this is discussed For example, in Bhagavad Gita chapter 10, verse 10 and 11, maybe particularly verse 10, but both 10 and 11, Tesham Sadati Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Puravikam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenamam Upiyanti Te. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. And in the purport there of 10 and 11, Srila Prabhupada makes the point that, well, he certainly mentions that generally a devotee gets knowledge, a devotee is situated in knowledge, transcendental knowledge, by hearing from the spiritual master and reading the literatures like this, hearing from the authorized devotees. This is how a devotee normally develops knowledge. But Srila Prabhupada makes the point there that sometimes there may be some devotee, as he mentions here, someone may actually be illiterate even. Someone may be illiterate, but as long as the devotee is really wholeheartedly engaged in devotional service, then the devotee is the knowledge, transcendental knowledge of the scriptures will be revealed to him simply because of his engagement in devotional service. Prabhupada says even if a person is completely illiterate, then they can become very nicely situated in knowledge of the scriptures. All the most wonderful and bona fide transcendental knowledge will be revealed to the devotee simply by the devotee's engagement and service. And we read how Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, who was extremely literate, really just sort of just amazingly literate in a number of languages, and he was a genius by, say, any standards, including material standards. He could talk about anything at the drop of a hat. They called him walking encyclopedia. He accepted a spiritual master, Srila Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, who apparently was completely illiterate. Just really illiterate. Not just kind of, you know, you get a lot of people who are kind of, you know, they're semi-literate or something like that. You get a lot of people like that. So he was not like that at all. He actually could not read or write. And in the biography done by Bhakti Vikash Maharaj, there are excerpts from either writings or speakings of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. And in one, it'd be nice to refer to it now actually, but anyway, he says that he met his spiritual master and immediately was extremely impressed by his renunciation. Extremely impressed, just astonished And he understood this is a transcendental personality. But he says, at the same time, he was actually thinking, maybe he is a little lacking in knowledge, because he was illiterate. He actually had some feeling like that. And, you know, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, as we said, being just highly literate, it kind of, at least the way he expresses it, it kind of influenced his attitude towards Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And he says, at least, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, that there was some sense of pride in himself on that basis. But then he says, just immediately after in the same passage, he says that, however, my spiritual master smashed my pride in my learning. Sri Sri Radha Radhanath Sri Giri Govardhan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. He says that he smashed my pride and my learning with the mallet, a type of hammer, with the mallet of, you know, his Krishna consciousness. He smashed my pride into dust. It's just so amazing. Just smashed it into dust. Just obliterated it. And elsewhere I read, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said that even though in material terms he was illiterate, whenever my spiritual master opened his mouth, out came the Vedic literatures, although he had never read them in this lifetime. Yes. So, of course, he is a super extraordinary special example, but at the same time, he is an example of what Srila Prabhupada is talking about here. That, and Prabhupada makes the point in the purport there of Bhagavad Gita chapter 10 verse 10, that therefore a sincere devotee can never be without knowledge. Just can never be without knowledge. A truly sincere devotee, even if they are completely illiterate somehow or other, or even if not completely illiterate, even if they are perhaps geographically isolated, and therefore they're not able to get association, they're not able to get literature. And occasionally, I was just reading recently, just in the last couple of weeks, of some devotees who met someone. Anyway, I can't remember the details, but it was like that. No association, maybe one book. And the next time they meet the devotee, he's shaved head, tilak, 16 rounds a day, and preaching just really like an enthusiastic and spiritually strong devotee. Maybe not completely in this situation of total isolation or like that, but still, obviously, the Lord within the heart had been giving mercy, and therefore the devotee had made progress in Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada also refers to another very famous verse It's from, what is it, Shvetashvata Upanishad. Shvetashvata Upanishad. Yasya deve para bhaktiya yata deve tata guru tasyaite katita hyarta prakashante mahatmana. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. Srila Prabhupada refers to this verse specifically in the purport. And it's interesting to note that Srila Prabhupada quoted this verse Yasyadeve Parabhaktiya. He really quoted it a lot. Yeah. It meant a lot to him. If you look, you know, in his writings and everything, according to my folio, he quoted it at minimum 133 times. So, yeah, these things are important in Krishna consciousness. It's just very important anyway in Krishna consciousness to appreciate the mercy that one is getting. Generally in Krishna consciousness, of a number of sort of moods, you could say moods, feelings, moods, which are important, but maybe they're not emphasized so much, but to some degree. The mood of gratitude and appreciation is extremely important. It's very important. If we can appreciate how we have received mercy, how we are receiving mercy in different ways from different sources, and this mercy has helped and continues to help us, if we can appreciate like that, then we can develop a mood of gratitude, which is like a deeper form of appreciation, or it's appreciation, but gratitude includes a mood, sort of like a subset of wanting to reciprocate. Appreciation, it may or may not include reciprocation with those from whom or that from which one has received mercy. But gratitude includes some sense of reciprocation and a real acknowledgement and trying to repay, you could say. So, yes, this is very important in Krishna consciousness. And not to be an ingrate is an ungrateful person who just gets things, nice things which help, just like, oh, okay, got it. It's not nice. It's not nice to just take things for granted. Familiarity breeds contempt. Familiarity. But rather one should try to appreciate, as one devotee told me, it's very nice, that Krishna consciousness is so wonderful, we should make the most of it. We should just dive into the ocean of nectar of devotional service in all ways, all different aspects of the process of devotional service. We should really dive in and make the most of it and relish it too. Relish it. But, he said, we should never forget where we got it from. We should never forget. Of course, the debt, as Prabhupada on a number of occasions expressed, the debt that one has, particularly to the spiritual master, the debt that one has can never be repaid. But that doesn't mean, you know, sometimes you find people, devotees even sometimes, who get into material debt, and they get into such terrible debt that they feel they're just going to give up. I've seen that in a number of cases. Just give up, it's hopeless. But now this debt to the spiritual master, the debt to Lord Krishna, the debt to particularly those devotees who are really helping and giving regular, meaningful input into one's life, and which is particularly the spiritual master, you can't repay the debt. But it's actually a positive thing that there's so much nectar in trying to repay the debt. There's so much nectar in trying. The more you try, the more nectar you get, that the devotee feels this is a blessing, actually. I mean, obviously the mercy is a blessing, but the fact that I'm not able to repay is a blessing, because it means I've got full opportunity to be absorbed in devotional service, just on and on and on, relishing nectar. Unlike in material life, if a person strives to achieve a goal, and then they achieve the goal, if they do, then next comes complacency. Next comes apathy and just sort of pride, which pollutes everything. As they say, don't rest on your laurels. You're familiar with that? Laurels means that in the old Roman or Greek, probably both Roman and Greek cultures, that when there was some competition, a race or something like that, if a person won, he would be given a sort of like a garland, which was called laurels. Yeah. The winner would get the laurels, you know, that shows, oh, he's the winner. It's basically like a garland. So there's a saying, and then there's such a tendency to become proud and complacent and lazy. And then someone overtakes you. So therefore there's this saying, don't rest on your laurels. Keep going. But in Krishna consciousness, it's so clear, at least if one is really Krishna conscious, it's so clear that the debt is so vast that I have no choice but to keep going, trying to repay. And there's so much nectar in it that it's just an inspiration. It's actually an asset to not be able to repay the debt. Yes, so, anyway, so it's interesting here. I'm finding it so interesting that Lord Kapila, who is particularly known as the authority on, on Sankhya. On Sankhya means a specifically a very analytical process which may or may not culminate in bhakti, but essentially, basically it's an analytical process. But he who is the great authority on that is emphasizing so much devotional service, just so much bhakti yoga. And as Prabhupada says here, that actually the words, let's just read a couple of sentences. One who actually wants to become liberated from the entanglement of this material world and go back home, back to Godhead, is actually a mystic yogi, like a Sankhya yogi also. The words explicitly used here are yuktena, bhakti yogena. Those yogis or mystics who engage in devotional service are the first class yogis. And then at the end, Prabhupada makes the point, the conclusion is that one cannot be sure of entrance into the spiritual realm in either the impersonal Brahma Jyoti effulgence of the Lord or the Vaikuntha planets within that Brahman effulgence unless he is surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Yes. So the position of devotional service is unique. As we mentioned at the beginning, and it's just for those who study Bhagavad Gita carefully, and maybe for those who are taking our seminar, it's understood that other processes of yoga cannot be successful just in and of themselves. You cannot become a successful Ashtanga yogi or Sankhya yogi or Jnana yogi or whatever, Shat Chakra yogi. You cannot be successful without at least some devotional service. Without some devotional service, without the touch of devotional service, those yogis will fall short in terms of whatever goal they're trying to achieve, the Brahma Jyoti or Paramatma realization. So they need devotional service in order to be successful just in and of themselves, in their own terms. But bhakti yoga, devotional service, doesn't need them. In fact, not only does devotional service not need them, but if they somehow or other enter into a devotee's practice of devotional service somehow, then they will tend to degrade the devotee's devotional service. They will degrade the devotee's devotional service, bhakti yoga, whereas the presence of some devotional service in their yogas will help their particular form of yoga. And therefore Prabhupada says the conclusion is that one cannot be sure of entrance into the spiritual realm in either the impersonal Brahma Jyoti effulgence of the Lord or the Vaikuntha planets within the Brahman effulgence unless he's surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And in Bhagavad Gita the point is made. Srila Baladeva Vijayabhushan in one place, maybe chapter 8, I forget exactly where, but in one place, he makes the point that that someone, a devotee, may think that I will improve my japa, for example. I will improve my japa by doing some pranayama exercise, first of all. Breathing exercises, which are part of Ashtanga Yoga, ultimately, or part of Hatha Yoga in a popular sense. So I will improve my japa. But Srila Baladev Vijayabhushan makes the point that you will not improve your japa. Now what you're doing, you are now doing yoga mishra bhakti. You're doing devotional service, but it's mixed with something external, such something which has a somewhat different nature and therefore will deteriorate your actual Krishna consciousness. Yes, so Lord Kapila is explaining these things here, and it's so nice. And as he concludes the verse, as he concludes the verse, the devotee, pravishanti akuto, pravishant yakuto bayam. In this way, the devotee, sheltered by the lotus feet of the Lord, becomes without fear, fearless, by the mercy of the Lord. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.